B-Pod Studios.
No one says it like they do.
What do you mean?
Well, what do you mean?
Felger and Mads.
I'm just making it up. Totally making it up.
98.5, the Sports Hub.
Fourth and final hour, as promised, right to your phones, and our gal pal up in Manchester, Mary, joins us. Hi, Mary.
Hi, guys. So I think that Brady is pouting about Antonio Brown because I think he wants to work with a superstar again like Gronkowski, because I think we have a great team, but I don't think that any of them rise to the level of being a superstar, even Edelman. And I think that Brady thinks that somewhere down the stretch he's going to need someone to make big plays like Gronk did in the AFC Championship game in Kansas City. And I think he thought Brown would probably be someone like that could do that, but maybe he doesn't have as much confidence in everyone else.
I think you're 100% right on everything you just said. Yep. It can't be for now. I mean, you're beating these teams by 30 points. You don't need Antonio Brown for the AFC East.
I mean, Brady knows they're playing Pop Warner teams here the first 3 weeks.
Yes. So it's not necessarily the W's, but I can't tell you exactly what it is. If this is the last year for Brady, he wants to go on a blaze of glory, or he wants to increase his bargaining position because he's serious this time about really driving a hard bargain at the negotiating table, or driving the best bargain for his next team because that's really on the table. I mean, I don't think that's likely, but... Or he just wants to put up huge numbers at 42 for the TV12 brand. But he wants it. He wants to work with a guy like this and crush. He wants to do it.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Look, and again, if it were something lesser off the field than what Brown was and he wasn't that much of an a-hole, I'd say yes. I was a yes on Brown when Pittsburgh put him out there. I was a yes then. What changed it for me was the Raiders. What a flaming a-hole he acted like in L.A. or Oakland.
What Curran wrote was what Antonio Brown left behind. Curran writes on NBC Sports Boston today, quote, he left behind a bummed out quarterback who had five practices and one game with an ultra rare talent. He went all in trying to make it work, meaning Brady. Brady went all in trying to make it work. He got close to Brown and tried to understand and help him. He's not happy Brown got flushed, both because the football was going to be sublime and Brady thought Brown was reachable. Curran writes that I was told the practice performance of Brady when Brown was on the field was almost perfect. There were more than a half dozen plays Brown made that were breathtaking. He was beyond anything Brady ever worked with. Brady was trying to help Brown stabilize, writes Tom Curran. He disagrees with the business decision made by Robert Kraft to jettison Brown. So that was something we were discussing as well today. Joe in Danvers, Jimmy, help me up. I'm jammed up on line five. Joe, you're next with Felger and Mazz. Hi.
Felgie, thanks so much. I think the Pats, they should re-sign Antonio Brown. They need him. They're better with him. What if he goes to the Chiefs? What if he goes to the Packers? What if he goes to the Cowboys?
Then beat him. Beat him on those teams. You're suddenly scared.
I'm not scared, but so let me throw you an analogy. You're the greatest sports talk guy. You're Tom Brady of sports radio.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Yep.
Would you be okay working with a guy fresh out of college like Jacoby Myers? No, I don't mean it seriously because I know you like working with the young guys.
No, awesome. I understand. I understand what you mean. I mean, I can see why Brady would, equating those sports analogies to real life is kind of tricky. So, I mean, I see why Brady feels the way that he feels.
Sure.
I mean, like, I get it. But, you know, there's... Unlike sports radio, there's offense, defense. You can win in different ways, and it's not always up to you. And there's a whole different component there that I just think Brady wanting Brown is a little selfish. The team doesn't need him. And so he says, well, what if Antonio Brown goes to the Chiefs? Do you like the Chiefs in that game against New England?
No.
No.
I mean, I don't think it changes the equation.
It doesn't.
The Chiefs, without Antonio Brown, average about 40 points a game against you. So, your defense is going to have to play better.
And I think they have a better defense. And because of the Chiefs coach, I feel like they'll find a way to screw it up.
I don't want to bog it down. If the game were in Kansas City, I might like the Chiefs. But the fact of the matter is, it's not because of Antonio Brown, it's because of Kansas City.
I just don't think a single receiver, even someone as good as him, is going to be the difference. You've lost when defensive lines have gotten to Tom Brady and things like this. Have you lost because of prolific receivers on the other side?
No.
Rarely. Maybe some of those Colts years with, But you also stuff those guys when you had a good defense. If your defense is good enough, it doesn't matter what receiver's on the other side. I'm sorry. So, I mean, all of a sudden, you're running scared of other teams if they sign a player? Since when? Matt in Providence, what do you got for us on the Patriots? Line four, Jimmy. Hi, Matt. Go ahead.
So, you know, obviously the Patriots have been neglecting the tight end position this year. And we all know Belichick wasn't going to go and take a first or a second round talent there. But there were so many guys out there that we could have had later in the draft. There's the stud out of Maine, Harlan Ackerson. I mean, that kid's a beast. Like, why aren't we moving on someone like this? It's incredible.
Okay, so Ben Watson doesn't do it for you? And I don't blame you. I don't know why you need a tight end. I mean, it'd be great to have a tight end, but I don't know if it's necessary.
It's not about a tight end. It's about the mismatch, and it's about the size in the red zone. That's what it's about. So, again, if it's N'Keal Harry or Josh Gordon in the red zone, what difference does it make? Like, I love Gronk, too, don't get me wrong. But it would be nice if you had that option because you'd get a linebacker matched up on him. But if it's a smaller defensive back on a receiver, what's the difference?
So you're talking about the tight ends in the draft. I mean, what are the odds that a rookie tight end comes in and does something for you? I mean,
with this offense?
I mean, how's the rookie receiver doing?
Not good.
MIA. I mean, on the field.
But so Gronk did in 2010. I mean, no, that's a special case.
Halfway through the year, it picked up a lot.
So, if you drafted another Gronk, yes, you could get that. Good luck.
I mean, like the kid in Detroit is off to a good start, right? But he went early. I mean, you had no shot at him. If a guy like that had slipped, they might have taken him. So, look, again, to me, it's about big targets, right? Like having a big guy to throw to in traffic when you're in the red zone. That part, they're going to have to figure out. Maybe it's Gordon. Maybe it's Harry. I don't know, but they'll figure it out.
Our buddy Rocco in Saugus is back. Hi, Rocco.
Hey, Michael. It's me, Rocco.
How you doing, baby?
Listen, how you doing, buddy? Listen, I want to talk about Kraft and Brady and also about Antonio Brown and Brady. Listen, Antonio Brown and Brady, their relationship, I know you guys said yesterday they just, like, recently just had this relationship over a week. No, I told Murphy on a Saturday show, I said, these guys been hitting each other up on IG, on Instagram, almost 2 years now. So that relationship has been there. Now, with Robert Kraft and Brady, what does Brady do every home game with Robert Kraft before the game?
He kisses him
on the cheek.
Yep.
But this game, he didn't.
Is that right?
Something's brewing. Yeah, I saw it in the freaking video on Patriots.com, whatever. So something's brewing there, buddy. Thank you, guys.
Okay, I like that, Rocco. Let's look that up. There was no smooch?
Unless it happened at a point and they didn't show it.
Brady's a kisser. It's kind of weird.
Yeah, he is.
With his...
No, what Rocco didn't say is Brady actually gave him the finger.
Where?
Come on.
No, but Brady and
Where? Where?
It's just wrong, Murray. They do kiss, so they didn't kiss. No kissy kissy.
We sure about that?
No, I'm not. It's the first I've heard of it.
I didn't say you. I said we.
I have no idea.
Are we sure about
no
that?
No idea.
So again, it might have happened off camera.
Yeah,
he might have stuck his tongue in his ear for all I know. And honestly, so Brady's a little pissed off. Big deal. He'll get over that part of it. Like, of course he's mad about it. Brady wants to sit back there and, see wide open guys all the time and fire the ball around and get, 50 touchdowns and 6,000 yards. He would love to do that. Why wouldn't he? Who wouldn't?
George in the car. Go ahead, George.
Hey, so I'm a pretty young fan, and I've never known the Patriots without Tom Brady, so I'm like a huge fan, obviously. But it feels so refreshing having to rely on the defense rather than the offense compared to early in the decade, 2010, 11, 12, and that Giants Super Bowl where the defense was just so bad, and they just had to rely on Brady going for 300, 400, 500 yards every game to win.
So thanks for the call, George. What's amazing is younger Patriots fans probably don't remember when the defense led this thing, when it wasn't all about Brady, when it was the defense set the tone, established leads, and Brady managed the game and made key plays when he had to and was really a compliment to the defense.
See, in a lot of ways, I like that better.
In 2003, 2004, I asked, when was the last time the defense was really better than the offense? Statistically, the defense ranked higher than the offense in 2016, but I think that's an aberration based on the crap nature of the AFC East and the Patriots schedule that year.
That was the Atlanta year, right? The year they went beat Atlanta?
That was the Atlanta year, that's right.
Yep.
And that was a good defense, make no mistake. But I think personnel-wise, their defense was better in 2014.
Absolutely.
And they didn't rank as high because they got off to a slow start. But no, really, what you could really sink your teeth in and say that the defense was better than the offense. Ranking, eyeball, the whole thing was 03, 04, and 06 even. And then 07 it flipped. But those years, again, in 2003, they had the number one defense in terms of points against. That's how we rate it. Number one in the league in points against. 14.9 points against in 2003. That was a stellar defense.
They were awesome that year.
14.3 points against. That is, I'm just looking at the lowest they've ever had here.
Was that the year they shut down Indy?
Was that the law three interception game? Was that 03 or 04?
Might have been.
It was one of those 2 years.
Yeah, I'll check it.
Well, in 04, they were second in the league in points against. And on offense those years, in points four, they were 12th and fourth. That was a defense-first team. And that sort of carried on through 05, certainly 06, when they didn't surround Brady with enough. They were seventh in the league in scoring. They were second in the league in points against, 14.9, stellar. And the personnel wasn't as good in 06, but they played well. So, like, since then, there have been a couple of years where the defense ranked higher, but you could never say that they were better, tangibly speaking. And this may be the year. This may be the year. And these young Patriots fans who don't even know what that looks like.
I'll tell you, and they don't qualify as one of these teams like Tampa with Brad Johnson, or because they still have Brady. But those teams that can dominate and win defensively, I love those teams. I do. I love them. I love watching them play.
Are they content? Brady, Rodgers, guys like this, just being game managers. We pick it up on the other side.
You're listening to Felger and Mass on 98.5, the Sports Hub. BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking five of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on five we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top five? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.
Felger and Mass on 98.5 The Sports Hub and streaming anywhere you go, go, go on the Sports Hub app.
We've never wanted to just manage the football game around here, so the standards are very high for us. We got to play a lot better on offense.
Again, that's Aaron Rodgers yesterday. That would scare me if I'm a Packers fan, and I'm a Packers fan. Never been content just to manage the game. But if that's what it calls for, dude, are you willing to do it? I don't know.
I mean, in a lot of ways, it really is the true test of a quarterback. Like, at the
end
of
the game, what it needs.
Right. Are you willing to do what is necessary to win the game, even if it means de-emphasizing your own role? Like, that there's not a lot of guys that can do it that way, I don't think. The winners do. But there's a lot of guys who ultimately think it's just about chucking it all over the place. He might be one of them.
So we'll see tonight. Is he getting a little tired of being in the middle of the league and quarterback rankings? Is he going to start slinging it all over the place, playing like a jackass? I wouldn't put that past him. Back to your thoughts. One open line if you want to grab it. Here's Josh in Alaska on the expanded NFL season. Hi, Josh.
Hey, guys. Thanks for taking my call. I'm just wondering, why wouldn't the Players Association use this as an opportunity to get the NFL to expand both the rosters and the cap? I mean, you would think the NFL, in my opinion, they'd want to expand the rosters anyway, because we see that a couple guys go out and the season sucks. like you've been talking about, the 2 weeks ago or last, yeah, 2 weeks ago, like my boys and I were watching, we're like, well, this whole year is going to suck.
Man, don't lose hope, Josh. Don't lose hope, but
no, I think it's going to be better. But I mean, why wouldn't they use the opportunity to get more players on the roster?
They like should
63,
or at least more money, or at least guaranteed money, tangible things.
Some for that. If they are going to try to do this, and it does feel like they're going to hammer this through, that's one of the things the Players Association should be fighting for, is an expanded roster.
I mean,
more jobs.
Yeah, guaranteed money. I mean, more guaranteed money. There's that, to me, that's the number one thing in that league. Yeah, if I'm a player,
the owners will never accept that.
You know, there's got to be some way in there. Like he said, expanded salary cap, and I think he meant more guaranteed money, more jobs or whatever. So
just having a higher salary cap won't do it. Because
no, the cap's plenty high.
It's not just that. That just like. You can fake those cap numbers however you want. You can make it look like you're spending more than you're spending. So it's not the cap limit. It's the actual cash spent. That's right. What you need to go hammer.
Which is why they have that rule in there about actual cash has to be like, 90% of the cap or
and
whatever.
I still haven't seen it in action, because there are teams that are tens of millions of dollars under the cap every year.
I agree.
So I still think there's funny business there that they're screwing around with.
Feels that way, doesn't it?
Absolutely. It's felt that way for decades for me. Fred and Ayer on the Pats. Yes, Fred.
Yes, hi. I'm calling to say that I don't think the Patriots ever did need Brown, because I think they have enough talent on the team, except for the position of tight end to replace Gronkowski. It's really impossible to replace somebody like Rob Gronkowski. But you look at all the weapons that Brady has, I think he has enough weapons. You know, we can go down the list of, you know, White and Dorsett and so forth, and Edelman, of course. But I also think that Josh Gordon, is a world-class athlete, and I know he's had his problems for many years with drug addiction. If you're a betting man, you probably bet against him as far as kicking the habit for life. However, I really think he's the unknown quantity so far.
I'm just going to stop right there. I mean, he's not an unknown quantity. He's a known quantity. But it's the thing you said. Can he stay on the straight and narrow? But I agree with him when he says tight end's the only place you look at and you go, not enough. I look at the receivers and say, it's not the top of the league, but there's enough there. If Brady would work with these guys, and especially if N'Keal Harry comes back and Brady looks at him and throws to him and works with Jacoby Myers, I think between Gordon, Edelman, and Dorsett, that's enough. I do. I think that's enough.
Yeah, tight end, there's short bodies.
So tight end is not enough. I'll grant you that. But I still don't know if it's a fatal flaw. They've won Super Bowls without Gronkowski before.
Yeah, I don't think it is a fatal flaw. Just my opinion. I mean, and again, they don't have their first string guy even in there yet. So let's see what it looks like with Watson in the red zone. And again, in the red zone. Like, I don't care how many catches Watson has. If he ends up with, you know, half a dozen touchdowns in 12 games, then he's doing fine.
I don't think Watson's enough, frankly. I don't like Watson in his prime. Not a consistent pass catcher. But just to dial it back, there were years their tight end play sucked. It did. And they won Super Bowls. They won Super Bowls on defense and balance and other things. And, you know, they tried for years drafting Dan Graham, drafting Ben Watson. They, you know, when they finally hit on Gronkowski and Hernandez, they've been at it for 10 years trying to find bodies at that position and not really being able to do it. Maybe Fourier was the best. But certainly, you know, by that point here, it wasn't like someone you had to game plan against or anything.
No.
I don't know why, just because you had Gronkowski, don't get lulled into thinking you have to have that thing. You don't. You just do something else.
No, and they have other guys that they create mismatches with. You know, again, I go, it's not apples to apples, but White, you know, can create mismatches out of the backfield, so you can get big third down catches out of a guy like that. And you know, not to nitpick at the caller, I still cringe when people call Josh Gordon a world-class athlete. He was in the prime of his career. He's not anymore, I don't think. I'm not telling you he sucks as an athlete.
I think he's got size and hands. His burst isn't what it will.
Yeah, it's just not. I don't think it's there like it used to be. And I'm not telling you he sucks. But when he was with Cleveland,
oh man,
he was unstoppable. I don't think he's that anymore, but he can help you. Like, let's just leave it at that.
We've got Justin in Whitman. Hi, Justin.
Hey, Mike. Just on your point about Brady being selfish, I just don't see it. I mean, 20-year career, he's taken pay cuts. He's had trash receivers for the majority of it. I mean, Edelman and, you know, Randy Moss, obviously. But, I mean, hasn't he kind of earned the right to be selfish about it? I know it's Antonio Brown, and I don't agree with anything the guy does. But, I mean, I think at this point he's reserved the right to kind of, you know, be selfish with who he wants in the field.
Okay, well, then you agree he's being a little selfish. And whether he's earned the right or not is now the story. But you would agree that that's kind of what's at work here.
Yeah, but I think he's earned it, though. I don't think it's fair to say that. I mean, how much has the guy given up over the years? You know what I mean? So, I just don't see why,
Justin,
it's such a big deal.
Okay, I don't think he's played with trash receivers his whole career. I think there's years he hasn't had the best group. But every time someone says this, I just feel like saying to you, when you talk about Brady's surrounding cast, why do you leave out Belichick? Because he's had the greatest coach in the history of the sport at his side the entire time. Next to that, what does it matter what kind of receiver he has next to him? I mean, it matters, but you see what I'm saying? Like, Brady hasn't been surrounded by much. It's such nonsense. He's been surrounded by the greatest coach in the history of the sport. You don't think that's benefited from him? Why does everyone leave that off the list? That some years he had to deal with this receiver or that receiver or this guy. He had Belichick, and I said it before. Do you think Peyton Manning would have given up Reggie Wayne or Marvin Harrison to have Bill Belichick as his coach?
Yep.
If you take away one of those receivers but give Peyton Manning Bill Belichick, does he have one title with the Colts or does he have like four? So cut it out with this. He hasn't been surrounded by anything. He's been surrounded by trash. Brady has been put in a tremendous position to succeed. Tremendous. And he's done it. And he's tremendous on top of it all. So that's what makes it what it is. But don't act like he's been put in some sort of tough spot. He's walked into a world with the greatest coach ever at his side. Every step of the way, he's had the same playbook, the same offense, the same offensive language for 20 straight years. That is a massive advantage.
So the one that bugs me is, how can you call Brady selfish? He's given up all this over the years. Well, generally, he has not been selfish. But in the case of Antonio Brown, he was acting a little selfish.
I think he's getting a little selfish, a little greedy.
Yeah,
little talent greedy. Like,
I don't understand, though, why he can't have an instance or two or five or ten over the course of his year, a career, where he acted selfishly. Who doesn't? There comes a point in time where we all get a little selfish. So again, but does that mean by, you know, generally speaking, that he's a selfish player? No, nobody would say that about the guy. But with regard to Antonio Brown, it was selfish. It was about what he wanted and what he needed. Like, I don't understand why people can't grasp that.
Because it's a negative comment on Brady and people are protective. I get it.
But it's not negative. It's realistic.
Yeah.
Like, everybody's selfish at some point.
Well, this is Brady's point. Here's Murray's update. We're right back.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top five Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
At the end of your ride home, you'll be all caught up.
You get suspended again, you're going to miss playoff time, or you're going to miss time in the playoffs.
Or questioning your judgment.
Sorry I brought it up.
Felger and Mez, 98.5, the Sports Hub.
Just a quick aside. You mentioned during the update the Texas Rangers did something today that's pissed off the Red Sox?
Yeah, so it was Rangers 7, Red Sox 5, and the Rangers intentionally dropped a pop-up in foul territory so that Mike Minor could strike out his 200th batter of the season, which happened, and of course Alex Cora and a lot of the beat folks are just apoplectic about it. Mwah.
So look, I sort of look at it as one big bag of suck. Like, Alex Cora, who cares? Who cares, right? But at the same time, that's how you got to get 200 strikeouts? Like, 199 is not good enough? Like, I think that's ticky-tack, too. But again, at the expense of the Red Sox, I look at it and say, who cares? So another guy on your team got an extra strikeout. Nobody cares. But I would also say to the Rangers, it was that important to you that you gave away an out?
And what's a strikeout anymore in today's?
Nothing. Like, it's nothing. It's zero. It's worthless.
Strikeouts you got.
Again, another strikeout record this year. More strikeouts than ever before. It doesn't mean anything. They're worthless.
Well, outside of my teams, I root for comedy and chaos, and I'm getting comedy with this because people are real mad. And I just find it rich that this is coming from the same team that celebrated Chris Sale's 200th strikeout like they won the damn pennant.
Right.
So F off. Oh, Bush League. I don't know. Get a hit. Make them pay for it. Don't strike out, you bums.
Can I give you, while we're on it, a quick baseball annoyance?
Yeah.
These celebrations. For teams that, so this happened to my team last night. So the Brewers clinch the second wild card. And Murray in the clubhouse.
In front of seven people in Cincinnati. Yeah.
In front of seven friends and family in the state.
Too many people in Cincinnati as far as I'm concerned.
This is the point of the story. And then in the locker room, as usual, with the tarps and everything, they got after it. And I mean got after it. Like, this isn't just drinking for show. It is shotgunning beers.
Yeah.
You know, shotgunning beers.
What other way is there to drink?
I mean, just getting after it. Not child's play. Like, these fellas were getting after it. They're a game behind the Cardinals for the division. They had a 12:30 game today in Cincinnati. They sat Moustakas, Lorenzo Cain, Ryan Braun, our three best bats, in a game they had to have.
Like, did they win?
They end up winning because Cincinnati is so freaking wretched and they've mailed it in that the Brewers still end up winning this game. But they still had a ton to play for. That winning the division versus the wild, what, do they want to go to Washington and face Scherzer in this wild card game? Or you want to win the division? But no, they had to get their bomb on the night before because they won the freaking wild card. It's gotten stupid. We get on the Red Sox for doing this.
Well, you know what? They happen.
But now everyone does it now. It's
they're sponsored.
It's ridiculous for this. And you had a game. It's not even a night game the next day. It's not even like you could sleep it off. No, no. You would be back at the park at like 10, 11 a.m. And half the guys didn't post. It was like a getaway. It was a hangover day. They didn't play half the lineup. The three best bats were on the bench. They started the game like in quicksand. They fell behind early. They came back and won because Cincinnati blows. But it's like,
yeah, they could dial it back a bit. They're gonna happen though because the goggles and the stuff that they're like that, all that stuff's sponsored. So they're gonna party in the clubhouse.
But give me a break, dude. You had a game the next day and it means something. What, you want to go to Washington and face Scherzer next Tuesday, or you want to win the division? But no, you've got a shotgun. You got to do your keg stands with Uke in the clubhouse after the game. It's asinine.
Uker at 85 looked great doing that stuff. He was all into
but
it.
But it's ridiculous. It's the second wild card. Oh my God! Woo! That's the impossible dream of the second wild card Brewers. Like, come on.
See, look, I wouldn't care if the division were out of reach, but the fact that they're still playing for the division, that would bug me.
Yes, it bugs me.
That would bug me.
Speaking of which, for the TV audience, were you in that clubhouse?
No.
You're drenched.
Oh, I just walked outside. It's raining buckets outside. So freaking annoying. It wasn't supposed to happen. I left the top of my car off, and my car's drenched.
Big mistake.
So annoying.
Something tells me Uecker wasn't drinking beer in that clubhouse. He feels like a Scotch guy.
Oh, he was.
Was he?
Yeah, there's video of it. It's great.
Yeah,
Uecker at 85 getting after is awesome to watch.
No, the drinking's important to them. So I get it, but like win something. The second wild card, you're going to do that? You had a game at 12:30 the next day, and half you didn't post because you were too busy shotgunning Miller Lights in the clubhouse. Good God.
Win it for Uecker.
Anyway, back to your phones. We'll zip through these. Ryan in Maine. Go ahead, Ryan, on Antonio Brown.
Hey, thanks for taking my call, guys. Did you guys see Antonio Brown right now? He's going after Eric Weddle on Twitter right now. It's like a back and forth thing.
He's going after Weddle, and who else did you say, Murray?
It started with Golden Tate.
yeah, Golden Tate.
Yeah.
And he's also going after Klemko, too?
Oh, yeah. So there was a tweet about Klemko because Golden Tate going back and forth. Let me see if I can find
it. It's okay. It doesn't matter. The guy can't help himself.
This guy's a tool.
This is why people wondered why. Like, his second or third day here, he went to the Tom Brady, the TB12s
thing. I told you, it bugged me.
And posted the video, and you and I were like, oh, that scares me. And all the people are like, why? He's innocent. He's just went to Tom. He said, because it shows he can't help himself. Even if that thing was harmless, the next one won't be. We said it at the time, and the next thing you know, the next one wasn't so harmless, got him fired. That's exactly the point. He can't stop.
Yeah, it didn't feel like Brady was discouraging that one. You know, he'd get a little free pub out of it.
I heard Brady was unhappy with it.
Really?
Yep.
He should be.
Brady wants him on the field. He wants him as a football player, but he wants him nowhere near the TB12 brand because accused rapists are not good for business. So at the end of the day,
where'd you hear that?
It's about business. Someone said it to me. Here's Homeo in Atlanta. Yes, Homeo.
Someone talks to you?
Yeah. Go ahead, Homeo.
Hey, how y'all doing? Love good. You guys. Brady's not playing as bad as Peyton Manning was his last year, but the defense carried him all the way to the Super Bowl. Do you think our defense is that good, or we just played a bunch of nobodies?
So, Homeo, I think Brady's much better than Manning was at the end there, and your defense is not as good as Denver's. So, you know, if Denver was 80-20 defense offense, you're more like 60-40 or whatever. So there's a lot of different ways to skin a cat, but you just being any better on defense than offense is a new thing.
I mean, Denver's defense was vicious. That was a vicious
that
defense.
Was, you know, that Denver win was like the Ravens win in 2000. Yeah. Like, there's been a handful, Tampa, that won just purely on defense, and their quarterback was some bum.
But I'll tell you what, give this one time. And I'm not telling you stylistically they'll be the same, and I don't believe necessarily that they're going to end up there. I'm just saying that you never know. And so, I don't know. Isn't it all about the numbers at the end? If statistically they end up allowing as few points as Denver did or as few points as the Ravens did.
Right, right, right.
And they score touchdowns. Right. And then, you know, they've already got two. They got two in the Miami game. So, like, I think they have the chance to be top three, top five in the league.
Matt in Sutton. Hi, Matt.
Hey, how you guys doing?
We're good. What do you got?
I got two quick things. First is the absence of Gronk. Yeah, it's not about the passing game I'm worried about. It's the running game. I know the offensive line has had some injuries, but the running game was supposed to be, you know, a deep spot for these guys coming into the season, and it really hasn't looked that good.
It hasn't.
And the second thing is, you know, you're talking about the league and all these young quarterbacks. You know, if I was the league, I'd be more worried about these teams like the Eagles and the Chargers and the Falcons, who are all 1-2 right now. They got some pretty tough schedules, and you know these are staples of the NFL that are supposed to be succeeding right now with the talent they have on their team.
Well, this is the point, Matt. If those teams fall off, that's why you need Garoppolo and the Niners, or you need Mayfield and the Browns, or you need Daniel Jones and the Giants. Something else, someone else has to take the spot. And it was looking like a couple of weeks ago that there was going to be no one to take those places. Maybe there is. You know, I mean, we'll still see.
Well, remember, on one Sunday or weekend, you lost basically Roethlisberger and Breeze. I mean, that's a massive blow. And so Pittsburgh hasn't recovered from it. It looks like New Orleans has started to. So, you know, you get that's got to be picked up somewhere. And New Orleans is really the more important one because, A, they're better than Pittsburgh, and, B, Breeze is coming back. Not necessarily in that order. So if they can tread water and hang in there till Breeze gets back, well, then they're right back in the Super Bowl discussion.
Michelle in Rockland joins us next. Hi, Michelle.
Hi.
You
guys are missing an important part about Brady. The reason why, you know, he's so pissed about Antonio Brown, yes, he is a tool bag and all that, he's 42 years old. So what happens when we get older? We get more tired. We have less patience. So he doesn't have the patience that he used to have like 10 years ago.
That's right.
So that's a big point, I believe.
Yeah, but I understand that's right, but is that excusable?
Of course it is.
Why?
Because he's 42. What happens? Don't you
suck
get...
Why? He's not 82. I mean...
I thought he was going to play at least 45.
Michelle, wouldn't it be a great story? So wait, when you get older, you can't work with young players?
Well, of course you can, but you have less patience, so it'll be easier for him. I want to make it easy. I want him here until he's 45. I want 10 Super Bowls with this guy.
Preach.
It's just crazy how people... I don't know. I'm just aggravated.
The whole point... So wait... Because he's old, we have to make all these concessions? You don't have to show up. You don't have to work with this guy. You don't have to throw to that guy. You don't, all because you're old?
No. Now his age works for him.
Like, that's not a trade-off I'm willing to, I'd love to see him play to 45 at this level.
Belichick's stupid to think that 42 works against him. Now it's okay, though. Like, now it's okay for him to lose patience at 42. You know what I think? I think she's got it backwards. I'm more patient than I was. I'm not less.
Mm.
You would.
I'm not getting any more patient.
Contrary to what you believe, what you see, I feel like I'm more patient at 42. I don't flip out over every little thing. Again, despite what you hear.
I mean, I just don't want those trade-offs. I want Brady to bring everything to the table. I want him to work just as hard. I want him to show up early, leave late, show up in the offseason, work with young guys, bring young players along, work with fringe roster players to make them better. I want the whole thing.
Yeah, was he patient with young players when he was younger?
You know, I don't even remember it being a thing. Like, the circle of trust thing is a new thing.
Well, but we say new thing, what, 5 or 6 years?
Yes.
Okay, so when he was 36, was he any more patient?
The circle of trust, right, he's damn old. Like, back in the early part of the dynasty, when I covered the team, we never talked about, oh, he's going to shut out this. He threw to Doug Gabriel. He threw to Rashake, even when those guys sucked. He tried to throw to Watson and Graham, and when they weren't coming along in the passing game, we never talked about, is he going to work with them? Is he going to be in the circle? This is a new thing, the circle of trust thing. And that's come on with his age. I don't want that to be a trade-off. You know, I want the whole package. If he's going to do it, do it. Be the same guy you've been. David in Hull. Go ahead, David.
Hey, Mike, you guys were talking earlier about guaranteed money, so I want to start off with 2 points. One, I think this is the one sport where these guys hold out. They should get as much money as possible. They put their bodies on the line. But two, for the fan, for the consumer, the more guaranteed money you get, I honestly think it could hurt the sport. Like, guys fight through injuries now. They do what they got to do to get on the field because they're scared to get cut. If we ever get to a point of, like, NBA load management, and, Mike, I know you hate fantasy, but it's a big part of the popularity of the sport, that and gambling. So if guys are just, like, taking a game or two off because they've got their guaranteed money and they're not worried about getting cut,
yeah,
that could hurt the overall popularity of the sport.
It's a fair point. I'll just cut you there. I mean, fans are really frustrated with the guaranteed money in these other sports. It's true.
Yeah, look, again, one of the nice things I like about football is that you got to earn it. You got to earn it. But I just think with the players, it goes too far. That's all. These guys put their physical well-being and...
contracts are basically worthless.
Yeah, and dare I say, their long-term health on the line. They put it on the line. And yet, you can sign a guarantee, and I'm not defending this particular player, but you can sign a contract with a $10 million signing bonus
and none then of have it's
it,
guaranteed.
And then have it ripped up on the you know, a week later because you're not getting your money. I mean, I thought the word guarantee meant that there was no way you don't get it.
Not in the NFL, small g.
So that's preposterous.
Okay, we continue with your thoughts tomorrow on an Agenda Free Friday because next we have the final word. You don't want to miss it.
Stay tuned for more Felger and Mass on 98.5, the Sports Hub.
Hey, it's Felger here.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com. Felger's expert analysis.
Not from this talk radio crazy.
Maz's hard-hitting questions.
What am I, like the freaking abrasive police here?
The caller's bringing knowledge to the table.
Maz, the adults are talking.
It's time to recap this four-hour show in 4 minutes. It's the final word on Felger and Maz on 98.5, the Sports Hub.
And the final word is brought to you by Town Fair Tire. If you're looking for the best deal on tires, there's only one place to go. That's Town Fair Tire. The best prices and great free services. Nobody beats Town Fair Tire.
Nobody.
Nobody.
Nope.
Mike runs back from the parking lot trying to dry off his soaked vehicle because he left the, what was it, the sunroof you left open? No one was expecting rain
nobody,
today.
Nobody, by the way. Nobody. No, it's a Jeep, but I had the roof off. So
all right.
Absolutely drenched.
A couple of pieces of sound. We'll start with this. We were going over some of the sound from the Cleveland Browns who got their backs up, specifically head coach Freddie Kitchens. And quarterback Baker Mayfield, who didn't like what Rex Ryan, former head coach, had to say on ESPN. And so, the wise words of Freddie Kitchens is what Baker Mayfield brought up, so that's what we need to listen to. The wise words of Freddie Kitchens?
If you're not in brown and orange, it doesn't matter?
Come on.
No, I'm sorry. Does anything matter less than brown and orange?
As Freddie Kitchens would say.
What other wise words do you have you're going to eat?
And the wise words of Freddie Kitchens. If you don't wear orange and brown, you don't matter.
Some other great ones. You guys going to finish that?
No, really. He's a great philosopher.
Smell this.
Yeah. As Confucius say.
Whoever smelt it, dealt it.
In the wise words of Freddie Kitchens, if you don't wear orange and brown, you don't matter.
Not ready for prime time.
That is a good one.
But it's an important league, because that's an important player. To hand him over to Freddie Kitchens. Kittens. And Murray called him Freddie Kittens. That's why.
In the wise words of Freddie Kitchens.
Pull my finger.
The wise words of Freddie Kitchens. I'm not chubby. I'm just easier to see.
Seriously, that's a frightening thought if you are quoting and following Freddie Kitchens.
Wise words of Freddie Kitchens. I'm into fitness. Fitting this burger in my mouth.
Like, seriously, like, what would be our equivalent of that?
So good.
In the wise words of Adolfo.
It's never been uttered by anyone.
Oh, my God. Unbelievable.
All right, gang. Wise words of Freddie Kitchens right here. Tonight's forecast, 99% chance of beer. All right, coach. Exercise? I thought you said extra fries.
Fitness.
Fitting this pizza in my mouth.
We also had a when hosts aren't listening.
Oh, we bad did? One.
Oh, yeah, I think it was you, Mark.
No, it's me.
How to tell when the hosts aren't listening.
As a quick point, name me more than three Bills.
Oh, don't do that to me. I'm bad with names.
Okay, but again, so Josh Allen. I can give you Josh Allen. I can give you Frank Gore.
Stephen Hauschka.
And Cole Beasley. Okay, the kicker. It's
the kicker.
Yeah, and Cole Beasley.
Don't
I can give
do
you.
That to me.
Other than that.
Zay Jones.
So, again, I'm lost after that. I couldn't do it to you.
They have Hyde, Micah Hyde, the safety. I don't know. So, look, I don't know.
I'm phoned up on my Bills. I need to phone up on the Bills. So that's sort of the point, because I don't think that's right, Murray.
And again, and they've chased a lot of players out of there. So it brings me back to the question I just asked you. Name three players.
You are so right that they are no name. I mentioned Micah Hyde. I just know him when he was with the Packers. He's their safety. Tight ends are Tyler Croft, Lee Smith, and Dawson Knox.
Lee Smith, the former closer?
Yes. I doubt it. I highly doubt it. Frank Gore, you're right. They also have TJ Yeldon. I liked him in Jacksonville.
Oh, sure, yeah, not bad.
He's a backup. You ever hear of Zay Jones?
Yeah. No.
I just mentioned him.
Is he a receiver?
Okay.
Yeah, he's a
I haven't heard of the guy even when Murray tells me right to my face who he is.
How do you spell Zay? Z-A-E?
Z-A-Y.
Z-A-Y, baby.
Zay.
This has been How to Tell When the Hosts Aren't Listening.
This is a tough one. Tough one.
What do you mean? Oh, yeah.
When he said Zay Jones.
Yeah.
Well, because I think there should be a statute of limitations on when hosts aren't listening.
90 seconds?
Yeah, like I would say 30.
No. You got to hang in there longer than 30 seconds.
Okay, I'm giving you 60.
90.
60. Once you get past a minute, it's got to be seconds, not minutes. So if like a minute goes by, you're in the clear on that one.
Due respect, Mass. If I need it for the bit and it's 5 minutes after the point, I'm doing it.
Yeah, it's really.
I need material.
To me, it's
think of the show and the show's material, man.
You cannot, neither you nor Murray can expect me to listen to you for more than 60 seconds. Seriously.
You got to grind it out, Maz. All right, what do you got coming up on the Baseball Reporter?
So apparently there was a little bit of an incident at the end of the Red Sox game today. We'll explain. We'll get to that a little bit later in the show. But Rick Porcello made what was probably his final start as a member of the Red Sox last night. And this got my wheels spinning because we've been trying to spend time.
Porcell blow.
On individual guys on the roster over the final couple of weeks here.
Porcell blows.
In the absence of any real pennant race. So I want to ask people a couple of questions about Rick Porcello.
Porcell blow.
Second to last baseball reporters of the year?
Yeah, only two to go.
And he's getting really emotional in here.
Oh, yeah, no. We're in the eighth inning now. Yeah, the ninth. We're closing it out tomorrow one way or the other.
And we can't blow it.
I was going to say it could be like Euchre in the clubhouse last night day.
Oh, and like the Red Sox, we have no closer.
All right. Here comes the baseball reporters. 90 seconds, no spots, and you get these guys. We're back at it tomorrow for a Friday, Maz.
Agenda-free.
It's an agenda-free Friday, so we'll talk to everyone then. Toodaloo.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking five of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on five we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top five? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.